Everyone, thank you for coming. Please remember the meetings this coming week in the will of the Lord. If he has not returned, on Tuesday evening, prayer and ministry meeting starting at 7 p.m. And then again next Sunday in the will of the Lord, the gospel preached at 7 o'clock. This evening, if you could turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. What I'd like to speak on tonight is just very simply the Word of God. What is contained in our Bibles? 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read from verse number 15. Tonight we'll turn to four different places in the Word of God, and I trust to quote a number of verses as well. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the man that's writing this letter, the Apostle Paul, he says, of whom I am chief. We could read it this way. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the biggest sinner. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, or to give understanding unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go back now to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. We won't be speaking on these verses in the order that I'm reading them, but I think it's important to mention 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. This evening I'd like to speak on the importance of the Word of God and why is it important. We'll look at where does the Word of God come from? Why is it important? Why should we listen to it? We have many messages every day. Some messages we discard, some messages we take seriously. What should we do with the Word of God? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and reading from verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So the Scriptures, it's the Bible, it's God's Word. And that, verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So these events, that he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, he was buried, and he rose again, and it's all according to the Scriptures. We're going to read in one last reading in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. As I mentioned, we receive messages every day. Some are important, some are not important. There's some of us that still get the old-fashioned mail in the post. And quite often when we receive a piece of mail, we look to see who is the sender. Where is the return address? Sometimes it's just junk mail. that sometimes that piece of mail comes from somebody very, very important, and we open it up and we place value in it. 1 Peter chapter 1, and reading verse number 25. It says, "But the word of the Lord endures," or it lasts, "forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." The gospel is good news, a message of good news, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now we trust that God will bless the public reading of his word. As I alluded to in opening, that we place a lot of importance on the messages that we receive, mail that we receive. We often look at the return address, and if it's from somebody or a business that is important, then we open it up. Maybe if it's come from the government of Canada, where we hope it's not a bill, we hope it's a check, right? We hope that it's money coming in, not money going out. So we are very used to getting messages all the time. And the Bible really is God's letter or God's message to us. He wants our attention. He wants to communicate with us. And it's for a very important reason. I think I may have mentioned this once before, a part of the story, when I had spoken in the past. But approximately 18 years ago, I was interested in somebody that I thought I would like to marry. So I spoke to her about it, and she said that she would, see, there's a couple people laughing. Maybe a couple people worried about what I'm going to say. And so I spoke to her about it, and she said that she would get back in contact with me soon. Now, what does soon mean? I think that soon means something different to a man than it does to a woman. Would that be true? Or maybe just if a man's waiting for a response, it seems like a long time. I'm not sure. But week one went by, week two went by, and I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe I kind of stuck my neck out and maybe there's going to be no response at all. And back then, yeah, there was email, but we didn't use it very often. So I was expecting a letter in the mail, and I knew the return address that I was looking for. And then 3 weeks goes by. Well, it ended up happening that the lady that's now my wife unfortunately had the wrong postal code. So I think that that went halfway around the world before getting to me. But the thing is, we get messages, and I was looking forward to getting that message, and I was hoping that inside that envelope it was going to say what I wanted it to say. And it did. But I had to wait for it. So we get messages all the time, and the importance that we put on a message often depends on who sent the message. We're constantly bombarded with messages every day. We can't read every message that we receive. But if we know who the message is from, and if we place value in the person that is sending the message, we're going to read it, we're going to pay attention to it, and if needed, we're going to act on the message that is given. But I'd like to speak now about the Word of God. First of all, I'd like to talk about its permanence. Permanence means it doesn't change. It has been there in the past, it's there tonight, and it will be in the future. If we were to read a verse back in the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 40 and verse number 8, it says this, and I think it really says all that needs to be said. It says, "The word of our God shall stand forever." There's many things that stand, but then they crumble. They stand and then they fall. But it says, "The word of our God shall stand forever." It will last. And even in the world that we live, where everything changes, the word of God does not change. We read that verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25, the last reading we had. It says, "The word of the Lord endures, or it lasts, it stands forever. And it says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I've mentioned before and often that I do not have any authority whatsoever to be talking to you other than talking to you about the Bible. It's not about my ideas. It's not about your ideas. It's about the Word of God. So the message that we need to present needs to be from the Bible. And that's why we've always encouraged individuals, have a Bible, read your Bible, and to check to see if what we are saying is true. As I mentioned, we live in a world that changes constantly. People change their opinions. They change their viewpoint. Some change their story. But what does God say? He says, I change not. God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. So God's word, the Bible, is as permanent as God himself. That's what we would expect. God's word lasts forever. It doesn't change. And God doesn't change either. We ask ourselves the question, can we trust someone that always changes their word? So one day it's yes, the next day it's no. The next morning it's yes, the same afternoon it's no. Constantly changes. If someone's always changing what they say, it's actually very difficult to trust them. But God doesn't change, and God's word doesn't change. This verse in 1 Peter tells us that it's this eternal word of God that does not change, that contains the gospel, the good news that is being delivered or preached unto you. So this message has authority. It comes from an unchanging God. This message comes from a God that is all-powerful, because after all, it's he that has made us. This message comes to us as from one that is an all-knowing God. He knows all about us, everything. So if it's coming from a God that does not change, that is powerful, that knows everything, we must conclude this. We need to pay attention and to listen to what he says. So the permanence of the word of God, God's word does not change. But what about the purity of the word of God? By purity, I simply mean, how pure is it? So we could take a glass of water. It looks fairly pure. There's no contaminants in it. Or if there are, I can't see them. Right? Something that is pure. Something that is not dirty, not defiled. So God's word is pure. Proverbs 30 tells us that every word of God is pure. It's accurate. You see, it may be possible for me to tell you something, but it may be possible for me to not tell you everything. Maybe I want to tell you one thing, but I don't really want you to get the whole picture. So I'll tell you this, but I'll try not to tell you that. Right? So it's the message that I'm sending is not really pure. Right? There's something in my heart that is wanting to focus your attention on this, but not that. But that's not like God. Every word of the Lord is pure. John chapter 17 tells us, it says, it's the Lord Jesus speaking to his Father. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God is true in himself. If we were to look at a verse in 1 Thessalonians 3, I'll just quote it for you. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because ye received the word of God that ye heard from us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. What is all this about? The Apostle Paul is preaching the gospel, the same message that we're trying to preach. And he did not want people to listen to it and to receive it as men's words. He wanted them to realize that what he was presenting was the word of God. And he finishes the verse and he says, "It is the word of God which effectively worketh also in you that believe." Our words are not effective, but God's words are. We think of another verse in Titus 1 and verse 2. It says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began." It is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to mislead or to trick. God cannot lie. So his word is absolutely pure, which means that we can depend on it. But what about the power of the word of God? I think we would first have to start back at the very beginning, the power of God's word to create, the creation that we live in. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Creation itself, everything that we see and that we enjoy, has been created, has been formed, has been framed by the word of God. It's a power to create. But what about its power to spread? The word of God is powerful and has that ability to be able to move and to spread unhindered. I'm thinking of 2 Timothy now, and just the two verses I'll quote to you. It says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." But this is the part I'm looking for. "But the word of God is not bound." For centuries, for thousands of years, the word of God has been attacked. Christians have been attacked. Christians have been imprisoned for proclaiming this message. And it is possible to arrest and to contain a Christian, but it is impossible to bind or arrest the word of God. The word of God cannot be bound. The word of God spreads. But the word of God also has power because it has the power to discern. How do I describe the word discern? I would tell you this, that my wife has more discernment than I do. You're not surprised about that. So discernment means the ability to be able to see and to assess a situation that may not be clear, and to say, this is right and this is wrong. This is why it's happening, this is why it's not. To be able to figure things out, to discern. If we were to read in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells us that the word of God, the Bible, it's quick, which means it's alive, it's living, and it is powerful. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word of God, through the Spirit of God, can figure out exactly what we're thinking, can figure out what we intend to do, the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's living, it's relevant, and it's up to date. It's powerful. It can change our hearts. It can change our lives. The word of God leads us towards the Savior, and it brings about salvation. Our verse told us that in Hebrews 4, that it's sharper. What does it mean that it's sharp? Well, something that is sharp cuts open. If we want to cut something open, it's usually so that we can look inside. And that is what the word of God does. It cuts us open so that we can see what is inside. The word of God exposes, or it shows, our sin. It shows who we are before God. It says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It probes our thoughts. It gets us to think, because God knows what we're thinking, and it judges our heart correctly. So its power, the word of God and its power. But what about its purpose? God wants our attention. And that is the purpose that he has communicated with us. He wants our attention. He wants us to listen. Why does he want us to listen? Is it because he wants us to understand that we're going to be judged for our sin? Yes. But really, he wants us to understand that he wants to bless us. He wants to give us something that we do not have. And he wants to give us something that is like his word, eternal life, which is permanent. We could read a verse in the book of Joshua, chapter 3, way back in the Old Testament of our Bible. And it says this. It says, come hither, or come here. This is our English language. Come here and hear. Come near and hear the words of the Lord your God. God wants us to come near, to come close. And if we're close, we are able to hear what he has to say. Often we need to come close. We live in a world that is busy. We live in a world that is full of distractions, and we need to come near. That quiet time when we listen to what God has to say. Psalm 119 tells us that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. It gives us direction. When we think of a lamp usually lights up the area that's just around us. God wants us to be able to locate ourselves. Where are we? Where am I located? But a light for my path, it's going to shine forward. And it makes us ask the question, where am I going? Where will I be in eternity? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there life beyond the grave? And if we're going to find where we are now, we're going to need a light, and that's the word of God. If we are going to know where we are going to be going in the future, we need a light, and that is the word of God. If we were to read in Psalm 107, it speaks of a people, and it says that they rebelled against the words of God. They turned away. They were involved in their own sin, and they did not want the word of God. They repelled the word of God. How serious a thing that is. But if we were to go to Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, it says this. It says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. What a privilege it is to hear the word of God. I didn't say it's a privilege to hear me. It's a privilege to hear the word of God quoted. And this verse alludes to the fact that there's a blessing for those that not only hear, but keep it. You see, God wants us to hear his words, but he wants us to respond to what it says. We hear many messages, and we evaluate whether they're important or not important. God wants us to hear, to assess that his word is important, and then to respond to what he is asking. Maybe you asked this evening, it says to hear and to do. What does God want me to do? Really, all that God wants you to do is to believe his word. He doesn't want you to do any work. He doesn't want you to pay any money or to go to any church or join any religion. All that God wants is for you to believe his word. And if you were to believe his word, you would be blessed. You would be saved. To believe God's word about myself, God says I'm a sinner. That hurts. We don't like hearing that message, do we? There's always a little bit of pride, or maybe a bit more than a little, in all of us. But I read God's word, and I look inside my heart and say, even though it hurts, I have to agree with God. I am a sinner. God presents Jesus Christ as the only Savior. I believe that the eternal God and the eternal Word of God is true. He's the only Savior. I'll believe God's Word. That's what salvation is. It's nothing complicated. It's believing God's Word. Think of the Word of God and its purpose. That's what we have looked at. Now, the Word of God and its preaching. Remember, we had read that verse, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25. The word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's the word of God. It contains the gospel message. God's word tells us to declare it or to preach it. But notice what it says, preached unto you. This message is for us. Sometimes we get in our mailbox, we have a community mailbox in St. Francis, and quite often we get mail that is for someone else. And then we have to write the correct address, put it back in. But what was delivered to us was actually for someone else. Sometimes we get our neighbor's mail, then we just send the kids over to deliver it. But this message from God, 1 Peter 1 says, it's for you. It's for me. What a privilege. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4. This is about the word of God in relation to the work of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You ask this evening, what is the gospel? Or what is contained in the gospel? And I think these two verses, in a large way, just sum up what the gospel is. How that Christ died for our sins. We're a sinner, yes. But there's one that came, and he died for our sins. And it's according to the scriptures. It's in the scriptures. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. We come to verse 4. He was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The one that we present is a living Christ. If he was dead, still dead, if we had to point you to a grave in Jerusalem, we would be wasting your time tonight. But we point you tonight to heaven, because that is where he is tonight. And he is the one that has died, has been buried, but has risen again, and he is the one that the gospel is all about. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, I need to close. 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, this is a faithful saying, and it is worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the person writing it says, that I am the biggest sinner. Was Paul the greatest sinner of all time? Probably not. But that's how he felt. See, his sin was a personal problem to him. He owned it as his own. It was my sin. And in his mind, his sin deserved judgment. And his sin required Christ to die for him. And he says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yes, that's everybody. But Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. That's when a person is saved, when they realize that Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. But the word of God and its potential. Potential, by that I mean what it can do. We have the word of God. We have the message from God. What can it do for us? What could it do for me tonight? Well, the word of God could lead you to salvation tonight. If we were to look at Acts chapter 11, we could see there that it's written, it says, the Gentiles received the word of God. They heard it. They responded to it. And that is what you need to do tonight. God wants us to draw near, to come close, and to hear. He wants us to understand. But once we understand, he wants us to respond. He's expecting a response. Do you remember earlier in the meeting I had mentioned that about 18 years ago, I was interested in somebody, and I spoke to her about it, and I told her about my interest. And I was expecting a response. I had to wait a bit for it because of a wrong postal code, but I was expecting a response. I had communicated, and I was expecting a response back from her. Well, God has communicated to you in his word, and he's offered an invitation. He wants you to come. He knows that we know that we're sinners, and he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Am I willing to take my place as a sinner and to accept him as my Savior, he is waiting for a response. I have to close. I'm just going to quote these two verses for you, and then we'll close in prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of your acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is the potential of the holy scriptures. They're able to make you wise, to give understanding, to give light. Wise unto salvation. How? How can we get it? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray.